The global legal battle between Apple and Qualcomm is escalating, and with Qualcomm's core business model and billions of dollars at stake, it promises to be long and nasty. Qualcomm is accusing Apple of lying to regulators to push them to investigate the chip maker and of threatening it to cover up the use of inferior parts in some iPhones. These counterclaims were filed in response to Apple's $1 billion antitrust lawsuit accusing Qualcomm of illegally trying to control the market for chips and charging at least five times more than the going rate for patent fees. Here to help us analyze these competing claims are Matt Larson, Bloomberg Intelligence litigation analyst, and Andrea Matuition, professor at Northeastern University. Matt, let's start with the basics. Explain why Qualcomm is allowed to charge phone makers like Apple whether or not they use its chips and what those charges are.
Certainly. So Qualcomm's business is fairly unique. It's twofold. The first part is the chipsets. They sell chips that that go into wireless devices and basically allow the phones to communicate with radio and wireless networks. The other half of their business, about a third of their business by revenue, realistically, is patent licensing. So Qualcomm invests a tremendous amount of money in doing research and development, and then participates in standard-setting organizations that essentially dictate what kind of technologies are going to be put into 3G standards, 4G LTE. There are groups talking about 5G. So Qualcomm participates in these groups. It contributes the technology that it's done, that it's developed through its research programs. And then in turn, once companies start implementing those technologies, Qualcomm asks for compensation in the form of patent licensing. So it says, we'll let you use these technologies. In fact, you have to use them because they're required to communicate with other devices. And in return, you pay us licensing fees for the use of our patented tech.
So, Andrea, before we get to Qualcomm's lawsuit, that follows on the heels of a lot of litigation by Apple. So what is Apple suing Qualcomm about? Andrea?
They voiced their repeated frustrations about their allegedly not getting a stream of payments back from Qualcomm in accordance with what were the previously stipulated deal terms pursuant to their agreements, which the court will undoubtedly dig into the minutia of those contracts and will learn a lot about the nature of this relationship as the case moves forward. And so this relationship between Apple and Qualcomm also was part of the concerns that are reflected in the Federal Trade Commission's recent and activity filing against Qualcomm in California, accusing Qualcomm of anti-competitive practices in violation of Section 5 of the Fair Trade of the FTC Act as well.
So, Matt, tell us about Qualcomm's claims that Apple threatened it and lied to regulators.
Yeah, as a result of this twofold business, namely, Qualcomm says you can either buy our chips, or if you buy somebody else's chips, you're going to have to pay us because those chips use our technology. That rubs a lot of handset makers the wrong way. And so Qualcomm has been subject to investigations in the EU, in the KFTC in Korea. There are investigations it was subject to in China that came out with a large settlement deal with the NDRC that basically set licensing rates. And one of the allegations that Qualcomm has set forth, you know, kind of in defense of itself and is striking back at Apple in this lawsuit, is saying that Apple participated in these investigations, specifically the KFTC investigation, inflated facts, kind of made a case that wasn't based in how Qualcomm's licensing and chip business worked. And Qualcomm is basically alleging that Apple came forth and saw this as an opportunistic endeavor whereby it could effectively negotiate against Qualcomm's high royalty demands by putting pressure on them via these the KFTC, the FTC, and similar investigations.
We've been talking about the billion-dollar legal battle between Apple and Qualcomm over loyalty, over royalties. And just today, BlackBerry announced that it was awarded nearly $815 million after an arbitration hearing concluded that Qualcomm had been overcharging for royalty payments on smartphone technology. Our guests are Bloomberg Intelligence litigation analyst Matt Larson and Professor Andrea Matuition of Northeastern University. Matt, is the BlackBerry Award a good sign for Apple in its legal fight with Qualcomm, or are the circumstances different?
Apple will certainly parade this decision in its dispute with Qualcomm. Apple's main contention, you know, despite all the antitrust concerns, the key behind the Apple-Qualcomm dispute, in my view, is the royalty payments. Apple would love to negotiate a very low direct license where it pays Qualcomm directly for the use of its patents. And in doing that, it's going to need to show comparable licenses that have low royalty rates. And so by BlackBerry, apparently in its arbitration, securing a lower cap on Qualcomm royalties, that's something that will certainly be highlighted by Apple and will be front and center in its contentions as the Qualcomm dispute moves forward. But again, you know, that dispute's going to be a long time in the making, absent some kind of settlement. So it'll be lurking in the background, and we may see this again in a year, a couple years.
Andrea, a lot of the time, actually probably almost all the time, that you see this kind of litigation and counter-litigation between companies that have had longstanding relationships as a business matter, it's really a breakdown of the relationship that's going on. And so if as Matt says, Apple's motivation here is to try to lower the fees it's paying, what is, you know, kind of say, you know, if you look at the legal claims that Qualcomm is making, what's their position in terms of why they're really right here?
So I think you're right that it is a flag that the relationship is struggling, particularly since Tim Cook made a statement that this was a move of last resort to bring litigation. Reviewing Qualcomm's reply to the Apple pleadings, what we're talking about here is not simply a single contract. Even though portions are redacted, we can deduce that we're talking about at least seven different, undoubtedly extensively negotiated agreements, and they'll all come to play when we try to reconstruct this relationship and as the court seeks to evaluate the different dynamics that were present in this set of exchanges and in these contracts. And the allegations are everything from Apple seeking to wind up regulators to bring charges and claims against Qualcomm versus Apple alleging that Qualcomm sanctioned Apple for cooperating with regulators by withholding the stream of payments that's the subject of Apple's suit. This is a very complicated set of business dynamics. And the reply brief from Qualcomm reminded me a little bit of my first year law student contracts class, because they raise a whole host of defenses that are very classic contract law defenses. So it will be interesting to see how this all plays out.
Matt, Qualcomm's core business model is part of this whole lawsuit. Would it be, if Apple did win way down the line, would that business model be in jeopardy?
That's the concern that a lot of people who are watching Qualcomm have. As I mentioned earlier, you know, roughly a third of Qualcomm's revenue comes from very high margin patent licensing dollars. You know, you're not making products; there's very low cost, and so as royalty rates go down, you eat into that high margin business. And I think that's what people are concerned about is looking at Apple pushing back, kind of testing the waters in patent licensing generally. A lot of the handset makers are being a little bit more defensive of their margins, especially as we've moved from the earlier iterations of cell phones that really just acted as phones that connected to radio networks, whereas now we've got basically handheld computers that we're carrying around, and we're looking at the advent of 5G, where pretty much every device is going to be connected to the internet. And so people who are making those products are saying, well, you know, the licensing that we're paying for some of these technologies should be a lower percentage of the overall device or capped at some set limit. And so when you're looking at Qualcomm, that's a concern, is how much do those trends start to eat into its licensing business.
Andrea, one of the interesting parts of all this is that the licensing from Qualcomm to Apple actually runs through Apple's subcontractors. Is it possible that this litigation is sort of the prelude to negotiating a more direct licensing deal between the two companies?
that certainly will be one of the operative moving pieces here. So Qualcomm, in its reply, alleges that Apple has had opportunities to negotiate a direct license or set of licenses with Qualcomm, and that Apple has not previously been interested in doing that kind of direct licensing. That's a question of fact that the court will need to decide whether the court believes that that is, in fact, the case. But certainly this may end up as the first volley across the court to trigger a renegotiation of this relationship. And that's something that courts sometimes do in terms of handling complex litigation like this. Sometimes courts say to the parties, look, we're going to pause things here. You need to talk to each other about this and come back when you've resolved this piece or that piece, or try to work things out between yourselves, and the court will get involved if it needs to, but to provide a nudge for a renegotiation of sorts when the court feels that there's room for that kind of a renegotiation.
I want to thank you both for being on Bloomberg Law. I'm sure we're going to be coming back to you with more chapters in this long legal battle between Apple and Qualcomm.